The Last Word on Today FM with Matt Cooper.
Okay, we've had one of the longest lockdowns in Europe. I didn't realise as well, we've one of the highest rates of working from home. Over 40% since the middle of last year, by comparison with an EU average of just over a third. Now, of course, many people will be going back into work today. 12,000 businesses reopening this week. 100,000 people expected to return to work this month. And even if the government is encouraging those who can still work from home to do so until September to try and reduce the possibility of the spread of the disease, which can still happen even if we have mass vaccination, it seems that even though that is being encouraged, that many people are now starting to go back to their place of work, whether they want to or not. So we've a number of guests to discuss this with us. Maeve McElwee is first, the Director of Employer Relations at IBEC. And Maeve, I believe IBEC is not urging an immediate return to work for everybody because of mental health reasons. Explain that, please.
Hi, Matt. I think, you know, it's really important that we see a safe and structured return to work for people across the various sectors. So it's great today to see the reopening of some of those sectors, particularly the non-essential retail, for that appointment shopping today. And yes, I think it is going to be important that we have a structured and measured return for everybody across the board over the coming months as we start to see our vaccination program roll out, and as we start to see hopefully community transmission stabilise, and it will be important that we look at how people get back to working in offices and have that opportunity to get back into the workplace.
A lot of people had to adapt to working from home, but adapt they did, and many of them came quite to enjoy it. So was it going to be difficult for them to readapt to the office lifestyle, particularly if there are things about colleagues that they might not like, if they don't fancy the commute, for example?
I think there's always lots of challenge in any change, and we have been working from home for a long time. But on the flip side of that, Matt, there are a lot of people who will be very keen to get back to work. There are lots of people who have found the isolation of remote working extremely difficult, people who haven't had adequate access to technology, or are living in inadequate accommodation, maybe with lots of other adults who are working or trying to work in the same space. So lots of people who will want to get back. And I think it's really important that we start to build out how people are going to return to their workplaces, whether that's full-time or working remotely part of the time. But actually, until we get a clear understanding of how people are going to work, it's very difficult to build out those future plans. And I think we have some nice opportunities now to get people safely back to work with the Work Safely protocol and very strong compliance around that. And then the opportunities that things like the role of antigen testing can provide in supporting those protocols to build that confidence as people start to return back to the workplace.
Okay, Peter Crosgrove is with us as well, Managing Director of FutureWise. Peter, when it comes to it though, given the safety protocols that had to be put in place, are many workplaces big enough to reaccommodate the return of staff, or are they going to find that they're going to have to split the staff numbers coming in particular days because of the size of the accommodation they have?
Yeah, hi Matt. I think many organisations are slow to push people back to the workforce for that reason, among others. But they're definitely all looking to experiment at some sort of model. Many people going for maybe 2 days at home, 3 days at work, and so forth. So the first thing they're doing is they're hopeful that not everybody needs to come back 5 days a week. And I think that sounds great in practice. The challenge they're going to have is how do you choose who comes back and who doesn't if certain people decide they want to come back 5 days a week? Because one thing people forget about, the next 6 months, I think we're going to see more people back than we want because people are dying to get back into it. And then maybe in about 6 months' time, we might start to find a balance between how many days at home and how many times days at work.
But haven't a lot of companies already made the decision that they simply don't want people back in the office because they can save a fortune by maybe surrendering office space and telling people to work from home at their own expense instead?
Yeah, and I think we have to be very careful around that because this isn't always, well, firstly, from an employer's point of view, it's not always the best idea. I mean, one thing that we've noticed a lot is most organizations are really struggling with the whole idea of idea generation and creativity when people aren't in the office because, you know, it's a lot of that is just bumping into people by accident or having casual conversations. And all of these Zoom and Microsoft Teams chats are very structured. There's very little way to have side conversations. So that's the first thing. The second thing is, you know, many employees do not want to work from home, and Maeve just said it there. A lot of people, it doesn't suit them. I think a lot of the times we think about working from home, it's people who are sitting in a room, an office where they have their own space, where a lot of people don't have it. But the bigger area that people haven't thought about for me is this whole decompression time. People didn't realize that time between leaving the office and getting home was the kind of time where they decompress from one to the other. And I noticed that, you know, you put down your laptop and then 2 seconds later, one of your kids is saying, you know, what's for dinner? You're not getting that time. And that's really affecting people from a burnout point of view. So if we're asking people to work from home longer, forget just the expense. There's going to be some real challenges about how people manage their work life and their home life. And I think it's something people have struggled with over the last year.
And what you just described there, Peter, is that even possibly a bigger issue for women? Because, like it or not, what often happens is working women are then required or end up doing more of the housework.
Yeah, it's been the biggest study we've seen is in the States in the last quarter of the 100% of people who left the economy, so opted out of work, 78% were female. And the whole idea seems to be that actually, you know, if you're back at home and both parents are working, there's a 3 times more likely the kid will ask the mother rather than the father, you know, and interrupt them. So there's a real challenge around the unequal amount of time people are spending at home and working the home as well. So actually, one of the biggest challenges, again, with going back to work is what's going to happen if certain people do go back 5 days a week? Because there is this phrase people are starting to use, go back to work for your career, stay at home if you just want a job. Now, it's fairly apocryphal, I don't agree with it, but that's the challenge sometimes if you get maybe people who are a little bit more old school who really want everybody back in the office because that's the kind of norm that they're used to. And I think this is why going back to work has a lot more complexity than just how will we do it from a policy point of view. You've got to think about things like what will a meeting look like when half the people are suddenly on Zoom and half the people are in the room, and will that affect the meeting? And it probably will unless you really think about how you're going to work that well.
And Maeve McElby, I want to go back to you on that issue of women, because could it be that many women might actually opt, given themselves what they think might be better flexibility by working from home, but find themselves under even additional pressure because of the demands they get from employer and at home by doing so?
I think it's definitely something that employers are going to be need to be very conscious of. There are huge issues around inclusion and diversity that arise out of the new ways of working that we're all looking at, not just necessarily impacting on women, but I think very much needing to be a cause of concern for employers. So we do need to be thinking about how we include people, male and female, how we deal with the issues around presence and absence from the office, and how we manage some of that inclusion. And to the point that Peter has just made, it's a very different dynamic when we're all working from home versus a number of people on a Zoom call and others in the office, because once that Zoom call is over, the conversation in the office often carries on and will carry on as you have a cup of coffee and go back to your own offices. But the person who's working remotely is no longer part of the conversation. So really significant and important challenges for employers here to really consider that inclusion and diversity issue, and particularly if we do find more women electing to work remotely.
Peter, I'll come back to you in a few moments because I want to talk to you about flexi time, which I think is an important issue. But I want to bring in Dee Ryan now, Chief Executive of Limerick Chamber, because Dee, I'd imagine there must be an enormous amount of small businesses in all of our cities, including Limerick, who want people back into the offices, because those are the people who then go and buy their lunch or get coffee or stay on for an evening meal in the city centre, or who go into the shops to buy things, who have been missing to the detriment of our city centres for well over a year now.
That's right, Matt. And the footfall figures from regional cities and towns around the country will show that trade, that passing trade that businesses rely upon, has been dramatically impacted through the course of the last 12 months. Today is a good day in that many of our members are reopening for click and collect and shop by appointment, and the hairdressers and the attractions, as you know, have reopened. And so that's a very optimistic note to be starting the week on, and looking forward to expanding that in the coming weeks. But the challenge is to do it in a safe way and in tandem to encourage people to take the to venture back into the towns and cities and to support those local businesses who badly need their support.
But do you get the impression that there are a lot of people who are quite happy to be staying at home? I just got a text here from Stephen in Ballina who says, not sure where your two contributors are getting it from, this claim that people who are working from home are dying to get back into the office. I'm working from home for 14 months and can honestly say it's worked tremendously well. The tech is there, no commute, savings, reduced carbon footprint. My health has never been better. I could go on. Absolutely zero need to commute 5 days a week. I'm not a fan of the rush to forget the past 14 months ever happened.
Yeah, and certainly lots of us have enjoyed and taken aspects of our changed lifestyle in the last, and our changed way of working in the last number of months that we will want to retain. And while it's possibly too early to tell how the future of work is going to look for us, but we have been in the Midwest surveying our members and asking them those kind of questions to get early indications of what their needs are going to be or what they envisage happening. And I can tell you that as of April, just last month, the businesses that we spoke to indicated that 53% of them were going to have a higher level than pre-COVID of remote working. So 53% of them retaining much more remote working than previously. And then when we asked them about their office needs in the Midwest post-COVID-19, 35% of them did indicate that they would require less office space. Now, 62% said no change, but 35% said less office space. And that's a concern, particularly for businesses that are consumer-facing in towns and city centres, at a time when the government is also trying to encourage compact growth, and we're trying to support those businesses through the COVID experience. The challenge now is for us to reimagine how we can use potentially that freed up office space a little bit better, or how we can entice people to come in and take up residence and actually bring living back into our city and town centres.
Caroline says, I totally want to work from home. I hate the commute, but I do miss my pals. I wouldn't mind going back 2 days for the social aspect, but I never want to go back to full time in the office. I wonder, Peter Cosgrove, how much age plays a part in that decision making.
Yeah, no, it does. The younger you are, I think, the more likely you are to go back. But back to Stephen's point in Ballina, I mean, I know a lot of people are saying that I've been at home for 14 months, it's been wonderful. The challenge you have here is two things. One, it's not really up to the employee, because there is a lot of things that happen in work that aren't individual. So if you're an individual and you work for yourself, you can make whatever choice. But you're part of a collective in work, and there's things like training and managing other people and kind of idea generation that happens in groups. So there is that. But secondly, if you're working from home 14 months and you find it great, well, there's always a danger employer might go, you know what, if you can work 1 hour from the office, why can't I hire someone 6,000 hours away at 10% of the salary? So people might work out very quickly that full-time working from home means that they might get replaced by somebody a lot cheaper. So I think there's a few dangers around it. But the positive from my point of view is this whole experiment has shown flexible working does work. So I think rather than it's work from home or work in the office, it shows that we don't all have to rush to get in for that 9 o'clock. And that was the stress a lot of people have. I think a lot of people might go back to the workplace, find them a much nicer place when they don't have somebody with a clipboard literally kind of checking of, are they 1 minute late for work? Because the key thing these workforces are going to have to focus on, what everybody always wants, is they want trust, they want respect, they want challenging work and clear expectations. If you can give that to your workforce, then you shouldn't care where they are or where they work, as long as the work is done.
Well, that's an interesting point, Maeve McElwee of IBEC. More flexi time, as in not everybody starting work at 9 o'clock, but if we had more staggered in individual organisations, there would also be a societal benefit, wouldn't there, in relation to commute time for everybody?
Flexibility is something that businesses have been looking at for a long time. Actually, pre-pandemic, people were really beginning to look at how flexibility could be introduced. And we've really, in some ways, almost forgotten that there are lots of people who work in our society who don't work in jobs that can be done remotely. And employers have been, over the last number of years, trying to be more flexible and recognising some of the issues around that. So we see progressive employers, even in shift work environments where, you know, they're adjusting shifts to try and avoid people having to commute at peak times, or perhaps adjusting to ensure that school drop-off times can be accommodated, and working with employees to try and build that flexibility in. So I think it's definitely something that we do need to consider, how that best works. But as Peter said, it is something that, you know, has to be considered not on an individual by individual basis necessarily, but for the overall good of an organisation. So looking at what all of the colleagues need. And as Peter has alluded to, some colleagues need more mentoring, they're going to need training, they need that collaboration on site. And so they may need you to be present at least some of the time in order to be able to do that. And for our younger demographics and cohorts to be able to build their career networks, meet people, learn from them and engage, and, you know, for them to have that support structure in their careers, much more difficult if people are largely working remotely. So it will be important to be able to flex. But certainly flex can take some of the stress out of the commute, without a doubt.
Thank you very much, Maeve McElwee of IBEC, Peter Cosgrove of FutureWise, and Dee Ryan from Limerick Chamber for joining us here on The Last Word of Today FM. Another listener says, people aren't always in the same office as their teammates. Some of us work globally, so the conversation doesn't continue in a corridor necessarily. Well, it's a very interesting point. For many people working in multinational organisations, they've already been doing the Zoom calls and various other ways of meeting up remotely, even before the pandemic. Although, at the same time, I'm hearing lots of stories of businesses which are particularly multinationals and those with foreign travel requirements, the cut down on the costs of flights and of hotel accommodation and the rest of it is something that they're looking to continue into the future. So many of their staff who might have gotten used to being required to travel for work may find that even when things return to normal, they'll be asked to do an awful lot less of it, all for cost reasons.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper. Listen live, on air, from 4:30 weekdays on Today FM.